We're so grateful now to be joined in studio, in person, by our own state senator here in the 19th Legislative District, State Senator Jeff Wilson. Senator Wilson, thank you so much.
Mike, thank you very much for having me in today on a beautiful Thursday and getting a chance to visit with your listeners.
Nice to see you in person. Again, I did have the occasion to see you a couple times in Olympia in the environment where you're working on our behalf and doing such a great job. Thank you for that. So tell us about some of your success. You were successful, by the way. The first bill that we monitored, that we watched, we talked about, was concerning the tow truck safety bill concerning the lights. So congratulations on your success there. Unfortunately, it requires accidents and incidents to propel legislation forward sometimes. But you picked that up and championed that, not through just one, but two legislative sessions, and got that bill adopted.
You know, Mike, this is part of the job that is very rewarding. Unfortunately, it was drawn about from a very unfortunate circumstance. You know, tow truck people are those that service alongside our roadways. It was a bill more about not just protecting those hard men and the men and women that work in the tow truck industry, but really they're somewhat our lifeguards. And there was a tragic accident in Cowlitz County in 2021, and then another one not far after that. So it was time to act. Roadside safety in Washington State has taken a turn for the worse. We set an all-time 30-year high with 745 traffic fatalities along our roadways last year. And I'm really hoping that this is a bill that will make a difference and actually save a life or two.
Well, it's good. It's good work. You've shown that even in the Democrat majority controlled legislative environment and a Democrat governor, where it's actually very partisan, we saw some intense debates on public safety and other issues, that you're able to effectively champion good policy in a bipartisan, collaborative manner and get bills adopted to law. So that's not an easy effort in the legislative session when it's very partisan.
You know, Mike, part of my job is to actually avoid getting involved in the headline fights and conversations. If I concentrate on the job and the focus and the reason why I'm sent to Olympia, it makes my job a little easier. I focus on everyday common sense legislation that will affect anybody and everybody statewide. And the 19th district is obviously my first and favorite.
Another bill that you were able to move through, we get to witness the number of the windmill blades coming through Longview. We're so grateful for that amount of business and enterprise that's coming through the Port of Longview with those giant windmills. We watch them come through and go on down the highway. But the question is, what happens to these at the end of their useful life, these windmill blades? And you took up that issue as well.
It's not only an issue, what do you do with a windmill blade 170 foot or longer when you're done with them? It's really, well, why don't we turn that into a potential economic opportunity? In other words, why wouldn't we bring an industry or create jobs that would either build those blades or have the ability to recycle them right here in our state? And we can do so because we're an importer of that type material. I think it's time we look at what's in it for us and how do we create something that will be positive for our economy, not just another bill, but a bill that will act and make us responsible for our green energy responsibilities. But at the same time, I think we can turn it into something very positive.
So with the tow truck bill, you're able to meet the governor, get your pin, get the photo op with the governor, and you're going to get another opportunity with the bill here concerning the windmill study, and you're going to get another opportunity concerning the display of firearms in museums. Now, firearms was a big topic this legislative session in many ways, but you're actually getting a positive firearm measure adopted. It's been delivered to the governor anyway. The hope is, the expectation is that he signs his name on the bill.
Absolutely. And I have every expectation that Governor Inslee will, of course, sign that bill and another bill I have coming after that. But this bill is very important because we really are able to provide firearms that are used for display, historical displays at societies or museums. In fact, right here in Cowlitz County, the bill was actually seated by Joseph, the manager of the Cowlitz County Historical Society, right here. And we were able to work very close and get through a gun bill, as you said. This is an incredibly It's an uphill battle just to mention that, but you have to explain it. And ultimately, that is another one of my bills that passed unanimously. All of them this year passed both houses unanimously, all of the bills, all four that passed.
So another bill that had made its way through the process, and not these bills don't make their way through the process. They require some shepherding. They require an energetic Energizer Bunny state senator out meeting with his colleagues and working the bills through the process. But the other bill that made it through the process concerns the equipment having to do with electric vehicle charging equipment. Why is it important to define some of this equipment? How is it important, and why does it come up, particularly with the recycling of this equipment? Why do we have to have laws for some of these issues?
Well, you know, whether you like it or not, anytime today and in the near future, there will be millions of public and private charging stations for electric vehicles. And this could be anywhere and everywhere, of course, in the states. We know that they're going to be built on a monumental scale. The problem is that there's an incentive due to the construction materials that make up these very important components to keep your car charged. There, it could, in fact, turn out to be something related to a copper wire, or there's an incentive because these cables and equipment are made up of copper and aluminum and other things that, in fact, could end up, let's say, being utilized and turned in and tried to be pawned or to be fenced at a recycling facility. So what I did was I'm getting proactive on it. I don't want this to be a problem, but if I put the checks and balances now, I think that we send a clear message. Don't steal here. Don't take this, because the legislature's already thought about it and it's not a good consequence. It
might have been helpful a decade or longer ago to have someone who would have taken that pro action concerning catalytic converters.
The catalytic converter bill was Senate Bill 5740. I had worked that bill very hard this year, and it really was somewhat of a continuation of the first legislation that I dropped in 2021. But this year's bill was the big one. And this one went after organized crime, but it also went all the way down to the individuals that will crawl underneath your car in the middle of the night, saw your catalytic converter off in 60 seconds or less, ruin your week, injury you in some way, and then try to get pennies on the dollar for something that will inconvenience your everyday life. This bill made it all the way through a few committees, several substitutes, several revisions. I involved a large string of input from experts, from prosecuting attorneys, and we developed a great bill. Unfortunately, the last day it was scheduled for a vote, it wasn't given that vote. But with all bills, they come back.
What do you suppose, from your experience working on catalytic converter theft, what's the hang-up with key legislators, the legislative process, the majority party? Where is the hang-up on the legislative body understanding the importance and significance of taking action on this item?
Well, first of all, you've got to be able to speak with the legislature. Platinum, rhodium, and platinum, precious metals that are worth up to $20,000 an ounce, which is compared to gold, which is $1,200 an ounce. You can see that there's an incentive where crime will pay. And we know that it's at an organized level. So really what I have to do is I have to break into industry and convince legislators that we're on the right track to regulate this commodity. And in fact, Washington State suffered its first monumental crime ring in Kennewick with 533 catalytic converters stolen in a very organized method. And my bill is aimed at slowing or stopping that so we can find some peace with our catalytic converters.
So you continue to work on that issue. The hope is that the stakeholders, both industry, the recyclers, and others who deal with the catalytic converters and auto parts will come together to address this, because the residents of their state are suffering. As you said, the anguish of coming out to a vehicle and finding the catalytic converter being hacked off is awful. It is awful, and our residents are experiencing it. regularly.
Yeah, every 2 hours a catalytic converter is stolen, and it's time that we act. Unfortunately, it just didn't get through the process. And the resistance, well, I'll tell you, it's probably from the industry or related associates that really have something to gain on this. I will follow the money. And I will follow this through until we get a legislative activity in the form of a bill that will pass. I'm coming back next year. Already have a proposed substitute ready to roll.
You do?
Yes.
So you have a plan ready to go for the next legislative session to get right back on track on this issue and keep running with it.
That's the idea, is to hit the ground running. We only have 2 months next year, so it's a very short session. There's no interim with me. This is the time to do more homework, get prepared, so when we drop bills here in January, we only have 2 months.
There's a number of other bills when we come back after these messages that I'd like to discuss with you that have been a bit controversial. As many have been concerned recently, the gun ban law, House Bill 1240 that passed, is very confusing for some. People are actually scared of some of the consequences. Firearm retailers are working around the clock to kind of address orders that had been placed, shipments that are in transit. And people are concerned about the attack on their right to defend themselves. That was a huge issue, and it continues to be. There's already lawsuits filed. We're in the studio live in person with our state senator of the 19th Legislative District, State Senator Jeff Wilson. Senator Wilson, thanks so much for being here. We appreciate you.
Thank you.
One of the bills that was signed into law by the governor and has taken effect just 2 days ago, House Bill 1240. Is concerning safety measures to increase public safety. This is the gun grabber bill that the House Democrats, at the request of the governor and the attorney general, had promised their stakeholders that they would push through the legislative process. As amended by the Senate, the bill prohibits the manufacture, importation, distribution, sale, or offer for sale any assault weapon. Subject to a bunch of special license exceptions, of course, and a number of other regulations, and sets up a violation of a gross misdemeanor for violations. Goes on a lengthy bill of trying to define about every type of way, many ways of misunderstanding of what an assault rifle, assault weapon is. Certainly, it would have been helpful had they had some gunners sit at the table and help craft their legislation to better understand firearms, firearm parts, accessories, and other things. Anyway, at the end of the day, the retail firearm world is scrambling to fulfill orders and to make sure that those people who had purchased firearms that were in transit and transferring could have been taken care of. Lawsuits have already been filed. Of course, you in the Senate voted against the bill. The bill passed, of course. The House, 56 to 42, passed the Senate 28 to 21. Basically party line. This is one of those bills that was very controversial and very upsetting. What do you think the path forward is concerning our ability to protect ourselves? Our own state constitution is more clear on this issue than our federal constitution.
House Bill 1240 was one of three bills the governor signed on Tuesday, and during his signing time, he actually had the Capitol legislative building closed to the public. And I can't recall the last time the governor had actually closed the building so he could sign a bill. These bills are dangerous because they sell a false hope that gun violence will stop. And I'll offer to your listeners that it's very unique because they wanted to pin the word assault weapon. And I'll be very clear, and I spoke very lengthy on this on the floor, that I'm more concerned about assault behavior than I am anything mechanical. And 1 in 7 Washingtonians have a concealed carry permit. This is not going to keep people any safer. In fact, what it did was, is it somewhat punished law-abiding constitutional citizens from enjoying their right that is given. It's not a privilege. and both in the state and federal constitution. There were at least two lawsuits immediately filed that will be challenging this. I think it's an unconstitutional overreach, but dealing with that, I'm more concerned that it sells a false hope. The number one killer in our state is not firearms. In fact, there were over 49,000 personal weapon injuries last year. That's with hands, feet, and fist. And 1,799 Washingtonians died from overdose. I'll tell you that the biggest weapon out there that's killing people right now is fentanyl. Drugs. But we had to find something to blame. We had to find something that would sell a newspaper or two, which says assault. It's a lot like, why would you go just to a truck show? But if you could go to a monster truck show, certainly that'll pique your interest and it invokes some form of attention. And that's the mentality that we did on the 61 listed rifles that were in that bill, plus a number of conditions on others. And what it did is it threw the 1,000 plus firearm dealers in the states and their employees in limbo. And it actually made people start to think that they're not lawful. And this was signed into effect with an emergency clause. And the last time I checked, most of the crimes, of course, are done by people of bad behavior. Guns don't load themselves. They don't fire themselves, and they don't point them at one another human beings.
House Bill 1240 passed essentially by the Democrat majority, championed by the governor and by the attorney general, has already been challenged in the courts. We know that there's some 20 other cases nationwide on a very similar issue that if challenged, we expect that the law would be overturned. You had mentioned that, yes, 61 firearms are listed by name, by manufacturer type, and then pages of descriptions of different accessory types. I think the analysis you made, Senator, was concerning the monster truck demonstration versus a truck show. Is this bill all for show? House Bill 1240?
Scaring somebody into feeling safe or being safe is something that we should not have done. There have been over 18 firearm and gun legislation put on the books here in the past 10 years. And if I'll ask anybody, look at the statistics. We're becoming more violent, and really what we're becoming is more misbehaved. Civility, code of conduct, the mental health crisis, substance abuse. These are things that are triggering any form of weapon to be used to hurt somebody. I think we went down the wrong path. I was proud to vote no against it. I'm all for gun responsibility, but at the same time, to take it out on law-abiding citizens. This was the wrong way to do it, and unfortunately, I don't believe it will save any lives going forward.
Would the criminalization of the possession and the use of controlled substances save lives?
Absolutely. Well, because what you need to do for those that are suffering, for those that are suffering with addiction, the pain of addiction, we've met our match. We can't handle our drugs in Washington State. The new match that we've met is called fentanyl, carfentanil. Now there's tranks and tranquilizer types out there. It seems the weapons of chemical uses are getting more complicated. And it's not as easy anymore. And what we need to do in order to provide hope is, I'm always a big fan of some form of intervention or confrontation that says, look, we can help you. We want to help you. But first, we may have to confront you. And obviously, the Blake decision, the Blake fix bill, which is Senate Bill 5536, I voted for that bill in the Senate. We had a very good bill. I believe we fixed the bill from 2021, our mistakes, and we sent it over to the House. And of course, the rest is history. It didn't pass.
That's another item that locally, county sheriffs and police chiefs are going to be working on, struggling to find a solution for local governments to adopt local codes. Clearly, there's a disconnect with the majority party and the governor concerning public safety, that they'd rather showboat and put on a show concerning firearms than actually address these items. Senator Wilson, thank you so much for joining us today. We appreciate your service in Olympia and representing us as our senator in the 19th Legislative District. We're so grateful for you and your advocacy.
Thank you, Mike, for having me on today.